I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Isn't that what David said? Mm-hmm. We should all be glad to be here. And good evening, everyone. The title of tonight's lesson is On Par with God. Now, for those who don't know what par means, in the game of golf, this is not a golfing lesson, but in the game of golf, there's a thing called par, which means even or equal. There's 18 holes on most golf courses, which means you have 18 chances to shoot par or break even. Now, as we go through this lesson, I'm going to be leaning towards the word equal instead of even. Just keep that in your mind as we go through this. I have a question for you. Can we agree that far too many Christians struggle with trying to do God's will? Is that a fair statement? So I guess we have to ask the next question, is why? Why is that? There's lots of different reasons, but I'm going to see if I can zero in on one. And this might be a little abstract, but stay on board. Hopefully this will be helpful. I believe one of the main reasons that people struggle with doing God's will is they don't understand what the will of the Lord is. And then they struggle trying to be obedient to that same will. They don't understand it. So they struggle trying to do it. Now, I'm going to go through some couple of scriptures here and see if we can't knit together this message here. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, the Bible tells us, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says this. This is Paul talking. "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one the measure of faith." I'm going to read a couple more, and then we'll see if we can knit this together. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, this is Jesus talking. He says, "A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good." Now, the heart he's talking about is not this thing that's in your chest that pumps blood. The context here, that in this context, he's talking about the heart. He's talking about what's in your mind. Okay? So a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. Now, here's the part I want you to lock in on. "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Now, I'm going to quote a verse that we're all very familiar with, but it's a little different spin on it. Most of us know that Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And that is referencing faith, acquiring faith in God by hearing the word of God. But there's another aspect to this. Let's just lock in on the first part. "So then faith comes by hearing." Okay? Now I'm going to add one more. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2 says that we are snared by the words of our mouth. It also says we are taken by the words of our mouth. So we are taught and told to that we need to understand what the will of the Lord is. We're also told in Romans not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Jesus is telling us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And Proverbs is telling us that we get snared by our words. And then when we speak certain words, so that faith comes by hearing, we hear those words we speak, then we hear the words that we speak, we repeat those words, and there's this cycle that's going on. Okay? And just hold that in your mind for a second. Let's change gears a little bit. We'll come back to that. Let's talk about Jesus for a minute. Now, he thought it wasn't robbery to be equal with God. For good reason. In case you didn't know, John says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. That's why he didn't think it was a robbery to be equal with God. But that's Jesus. But now let's look at this, what Philippians talks about. Look at the mind of Jesus. Philippians chapter 6, verse 5 through 8. It says, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being born of God, being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God. Now, in spite of all that, what did he do? Verse 7 says, but he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now, see if we can't knit this together here. Sometimes when we speak, this is most of the time, they're talking about as Christians. Sometimes when we speak, unintendedly, we speak as if God is our colleague. Co-worker. Sometimes our conversation comes out like that when we're speaking about God. Like we're in similar rank and status. Let me give an example. Have you ever heard anyone make this statement? Well, God should have. I'm talking about Christians now. Well, God should have. Well, God, you know, he shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have set it up this way. Have you ever heard any Christians now say these things? Without really giving it much thought, they're speaking this thing. So these things are manufactured in the mind first, but they wind up on the tongue. And the tongue speaks, and we hear it, and then we repeat it. How about this one? Have you ever said anything like that? Now, when I looked at that, I had to... I had to take a step back and ask myself, have I ever said anything like that? And yes, in the early days, I think I did. I think I may have said something like, well, God should have done it this way. You know, not understanding, not trying to be disrespectful, just not really thinking about what's coming out of my mouth. But we need to understand something. In Isaiah, 55th chapter, sometimes we lose sight of this. The Bible says, verse 8, my thoughts, this is God talking, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. See, when we make those statements like that unintendedly, not really giving it any thought, we are subconsciously programming our minds to be on par with God. So when we hear or read something that we don't really like, subconsciously in mind, we start trying to negotiate with God, don't we? Here we go. We have a command and God has given us, and we're subconsciously trying to negotiate with God like he's some kind of seller of melons in a marketplace without really thinking about what we're doing, because we heard ourselves talk about what God should have and shouldn't have done. So, we have to be careful. There's a way that seems right to man. That's where that conversation comes from. There's a way that seems right to man, Proverbs 12, 14, but those ways, they end up in death. So we need to be careful with our thinking and with our words so we don't get snared by them. God should have. God shouldn't have. Well, I thought. Well, I feel. But God said. So we struggle sometimes. We're trying to be obedient because we don't have a clear understanding of who we are, whose we are, and just who God, the great I Am, really is. Proverbs tell us, wisdom is a principal thing, therefore get wisdom. But in all our getting, we need to get an understanding. John the Baptist, we're talking about status here. Let's just talk about status for a second. Did John the Baptist have a little bit of status? What was he, like 6 months older than Jesus? He was born for a very specific reason, to pave the way. And was he not blood related? Now, isn't that something to be, have something to say? Well, Jesus is my cousin. I'm blood, he has some status. He was a Nazarite. John, when he was older, he was grown. He wore camel's hair, ate locusts and wild honey, thundered curses on the king, had a message of repentance. You don't think John had a following? They came to see John. But even John understood something. What's John the Baptist's famous line? I must decrease, and he must increase. See, in spite of who John was, he understood who he was. He understood who Jesus was, and he verbalized it and made it plain to his followers. I have to decrease, and he must increase. So, we live in this world here that has a lot of distractions, so many voices. Voice is pulling us in all kind of different directions. The voices from finance and school and family and kids and voices everywhere pulling us in all these different directions all the time. And we got to be careful about some of those voices, because they will influence us and have us saying things that we should not be saying without realizing what's coming out of our mouth. That's how we get snared by our words. Some of those voices we need to listen to, especially if it's your boss or your child, your parents. But there's only one voice that should carry such weight that it influences, guides, and directs our lives. That is the voice of God. So sometimes we got to be careful with our words. We have to be cognizant of what's in our head. What are we putting in? What are we taking in that is programming the mind to where the words are coming out that we're getting snared by? And sometimes it seems harmless, the stuff that we take in. It's insidious. Sort of like weeds in your backyard. And you look out there one day, you see a couple of small weeds, and it's like, hey, it's not that big a deal, I'll get them. And next week you open the back door and they have taken over. Didn't seem when you first saw them like such a big deal. But when you let it go, Let it go unchecked, let it go undealt with, they will take over. Like the weeds take over your mind, these thoughts that we allow into our head that we take in will take us over. And we're saying things like, on its face, it sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? Well, God should have done this. He should have done it this way. I would have done it this way. Like that matters. What we think. Remember, God said, well, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. It might seem right to you, but that way, what seems right to you, it leads to a spiritual grave. So we have to be very careful with what we take in. We had one of the brothers today in our Bible class was talking about, he was struggling with some things. And I'm thinking that's a big part of it. I wish he was here or not. That's a big part of why we struggle. We place ourselves in circumstances that we absorb things that we shouldn't be absorbing. We place ourselves in environments that influence us in the wrong way. And it seems harmless at the time. But the collective, let me give an example. When I was in the military, I was in Florida. I was stationed in Jacksonville, Florida. I was there for like 3 years. When I came back to Sacramento, my sister asked me, she said, what's wrong with you? I was like, what do you mean? I didn't realize it, but I had picked up a Southern drawl. Didn't even realize it. She said, you're talking different. I was like, I am? It just because I was in that environment for so long, I absorbed how they spoke, and it was starting to become a part of me. Without me even, I wasn't trying to do it. It just happened because I was saturating myself in that environment. So we have to, as Christians now, we're not talking about the world. What are we supposed to be? We are set apart. We are part of a royal priesthood. So we have to be careful of the things that we engage in. I probably should have quoted Billy Washington when I first started, when he says, I shan't be very long tonight. This is going to be a short one. I'm going to go ahead and read a few verses, and the lesson is going to be yours. We have to be careful about the things that we avail ourselves to. And here's why. Isaiah chapter 40. I'm going to do a little bit of reading. I'm going to pick up the reading at verse 12. A couple of questions, a lot of questions here. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Measured heaven with a span and calculated the dust of earth in a measure. Weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who has done that? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? You drop down to verse 18. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare him to? Go to verse 21. More questions. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood? From the foundations of the earth, it is he who sits above the circle of this earth. And its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. Who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in? He brings princes to nothing, makes judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted. Scarcely shall they be sown. Scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth. When he will also blow on them, they will wither away. And the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal? Says the Holy One. So maybe we should be a little more careful with our thinking and our words and what we allow to influence us. I know we don't intentionally have those words come out of our mouth. But we need to be careful so we don't unintentionally place ourselves on par with God. And maybe, just maybe, it will help us struggle a little less with obedience when the instructions come down from on high. The lesson is yours. Going to give an invitation now as I look out in the audience here. Most of you guys have already heard what I'm about to say. You understand it, but there's some people maybe watching online that really don't get what it requires to become a Christian. It's not a sinner's prayer. There are certain things we got to do. I already mentioned Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You have to hear the word of God. Then you have to believe who God is. You have to, that same faith that came by hearing, Hebrews 11:6 tells us without faith it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. And he rewards those who diligently seek him. And you got to repent. On, on the day of Pentecost, when the 12 tribes of Israel were, Peter was telling them, and paraphrasing, that Jesus guy you guys killed, that's the only way to get to heaven now. And it's like, okay, we kind of messed up. Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, well, there's an answer. Repent and be baptized. When you see the word "and," particularly in the scriptures, it's a what we call a linkage word. Whatever you hear before the and after the "and," that links them together. So you can't take this part and just say, I'll do this. No, this part goes with it. When Peter says, repent and be baptized, that's a requirement. Not just repentance, must be baptized too. We're going to come back to baptism. We're going to circle back to that. We have to confess Jesus as being the Son of God. Not the sinner's prayer, not a confession, oh, Lord, I'm sinning. He already knows that. What brings salvation to us is confessing Jesus before men. Matthew 10:32 says what? If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. And it goes on to say, if you deny me, I'll deny you. And then you got to be baptized. Here we are again there, baptism. Yeah, Mark 16:16 says, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. And this is just the beginning. One of my brothers pointed out and made a great point. A lot of people think that's the end. I'll tell you what, it was Michael. It's not the end, it's the beginning of the new life that you're going to walk. New life, new choices. And we must stay faithful to death. That is the plan of salvation. So if you're subject to respond to the gospel, if you need prayer, you've heard Preston say it many times, we're a praying church, we believe in the power of prayer. If you find yourself a guilty distance from God, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't wait around. Tomorrow's not promised to us. So if you need to repent, then I would suggest you do so. Anyway, the lesson is yours. We're going to stand now. Sam is going to come bring us an invitation song. If you need to respond, now's the time to do it.